from the time that they pronounced me dead was a good 45 minutes.
They cut my clothes and then they paddled my heart because my heart had stopped. And I could see people screaming and crying, but I didn't realize that was actually my physical body because I was somewhere else.
The only thing that I could feel, if you can imagine, absolute love and peace. There wasn't anything else to be felt.
I was greeted by people I had known in the past.
I'm back home again.
Incredibly safe and felt at home.
Welcome, welcome to Round Trip Death, everybody. And to our very special guest today, Kate Quay. Is that how you say your last name?
Yeah, it is. It's funny because you can also be pronounced Key if you're from the UK. So sometimes people call me Key, but yeah, it's Quay.
I'm going to pretend I'm from the UK. All right, Key. No, we'll go with Kate. If I accidentally call you Katie, that's my fault. I have a daughter named Katie, so don't be shocked if that happens.
It's okay. I grew up as a Katie, and I changed to Kate in college because I thought it was fancier. So totally fine. I was Katie growing up.
It's so much more mature.
Yes, it is. It is.
And you're mature now because you've got kids, including a new baby. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so I'm a wife and a mom. I've got two little girls. One's 3.5. One is 2 months old. Gosh, my 2 month old, she's just the smiliest, happiest little baby. So, you know, the first time around, it's pretty rough. And the second time, I'm like, yes, I'm going to enjoy this. So,
second time you're around, you're a pro.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm like, yeah. Oh, I can read her signals really well. And blowouts, whatever. That's totally fine.
And just assume when you're going anywhere, it's going to take 20 minutes to actually get into the car. Things like that that you learn the first time around. But anyway, this podcast is not baby talk, although that would be fun. We talk about near-death experiences. And I'm going to give our audience a little heads up. Normally, the majority of the experiences we talk about are the traditional. We can actually document somebody's heart stopped, they were resuscitated, came back, and they can remember things that happened to them while they were clinically dead and on the other side. You haven't died yet.
No, not that I know of.
So I don't know if we want to call this an NDE, an OBE, an STE, or whatever we feel like. It really doesn't matter. The fact is that these kinds of spiritual experiences or experiences with the spirit world can happen whether we die or not.
Yeah.
In fact, if you study scripture, you will see accounts in there. So there's some homework if anyone feels like doing it. So Kate, I want you to, you've already told us your mom, you live in Reno, right?
Yeah. We've been here a few years. We're big mountain outdoor people. And my gosh, it's just like a little mecca for outdoor living. It's really amazing. Big mountain biker, trail runner, fly fishing, camping, all the good stuff. Outside of that, I've been working in the outdoor cycling industry for, gosh, I was trying to do the math last night. It was like 15 years. So a long time. I've been working with bikes, doing the nerdy stuff. So data analytics, planning, and most recently started doing education around UX design. So yeah, it's been a journey. I love working in areas and places that I'm passionate about. So
for those that don't know what UX design is, go ahead and give us the 30-second. What is it?
Yeah, it's called user experience design, and it's basically data and researched method to making digital products more intuitive and user friendly. So, you know, you probably know this when you've been on a website that just kind of sucks and you can't find what you need and you get so frustrated and you just leave. That is a bad user experience. So my job would be to go in and say, hey, what are you trying to do? And make that more intuitive and easy to do. Yeah, I think the big thing, Eric, is that after this spiritual transformation in my life, I realized like, hey, I don't want to just help people sell more products that aren't going to bring them more light and love and energy into the world. So my big thing is wanting to change my career and help people. And so I've took the leap of faith and started a UX consultant brand called Expand UX. So you can find me on expandux.com. And yeah, I'm just here to help individuals and brands make their products more intuitive and easy to use so we can just get the message out.
Very cool. Yeah, you don't want that website or that app to stand in the way.
Yeah, absolutely.
It should be a gateway and a tool. And it drives me crazy if I have to click 10 times on a site to get where I want to go.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. It should be once or twice. Okay, enough about that. You had an unusual experience. I'm going to just let you jump into it. This has not been very long ago, but there was trauma in your life. Go ahead and tell us what happened.
Yeah. My friend was murdered a few years back now. And, you know, it shattered me. It changed my life entirely. But I think that the beauty that has come out of that trauma is, you know, that's what I'm here to share today. You know, I've had one specific, very spiritual, transformative experience, but I've also had a series of synchronicities and miracles that have really fully transformed my life. And so, you know, out of this trauma, I can say that my life has been changed entirely and entirely for the better. And that is so important for me to share with the world because, you know, everyone's going to encounter these really hard things in their life. And there is the possibility of finding joy and love and peace out of those really dark moments.
Yeah, let me just interject with, there are some commonalities there to regular NDEs. People are changed.
Yeah.
And they often give up their old job or things about their old life that they don't like. And you didn't have to die for that to happen. And that's actually a really good thing. So let's jump into it.
The way I found out about my friend's death was, I think, was part of it too. You know, I had been messaging her and, you know, I got radio silence and I was like, hey, where is this person? And, you know, I got the phone call the day after she was killed. I got the phone call saying, hey, you know, we found your friend. And, you know, I just collapsed. I was just a mess. And it was really, really difficult. And that night I went to bed and I was just like, how am I ever going to go to sleep? And while I did eventually fall asleep. And while I was asleep, I had this most profound dream. And I guess I'll, as a disclaimer, at the time I was an atheist. You know, I'd grown up in the Lutheran church, but like a lot of young people in college, I had kind of turned away from my trust in Christianity and in faith. And there's nothing wrong with it per se, but I definitely was like a hardcore atheist of like, there's nothing after we die. And so the fact that this person that I cared about was dead in this way, it was just very hard for me to kind of wrap my head around. So anyways, I'm having this dream and I'm in this space and it's like this house of where these souls are kind of, it's like a halfway house, this transition period between earth and the spirit world. And these spirits are moving in and out. And it's almost like this place where you can go and communicate. And I was in this nice little cozy corner with my friend. And, you know, now looking back, I can recognize that we were both our light bodies. So like I recognized her, but we weren't our physical selves. We were light beings. And it was like the most warm and beautiful and joyful interaction. Like you'd think that after someone died, like it wouldn't be joyful, but it was just filled with love. And, you know, I can still feel that love today. It's almost like we were instantly there and we just started talking. And she told me, you're an amazing mother. You're an amazing mother. I had my first daughter at that time. She was a newborn. And I just remember feeling this really strong message about how my motherhood was going to be really important in my life. And then I remember telling her, you know, you would have been such a great mother, because she really would have, like, and she just lit up and she was just like, I know. And I think that looking back now, I understand the message she was trying to tell me was that my connection with her mom was going to be important too, and kind of being that conduit to give peace to her mom too. It's like this whole message of motherhood was really important. And then after that conversation, she told me very directly, like, I'm okay and I'm not alone. After she said that, I woke up, I was just instantly out, and I just woke up just sobbing.
Wow. Couple of questions. How long was this after she died?
This was 24 hours after she died.
Oh, so right after. So yeah. This was a very fresh wound.
Yes.
For your soul. How is this different than just a regular dream that we have sometimes?
That's a good question, Eric. And I know I hear you ask that a lot to people. And it's like, regular dreams, they come and they go, and they don't feel significant. And they don't feel real. Like, you know that you're dreaming. And in this case, like, I'm a very physically sensitive person. I can feel a lot of stuff. And I can just feel that this was different. And like, I can go back and I can still put myself in that situation like it was yesterday. But because I was an atheist, I spent an entire year thinking it was just my brain, thinking, oh, you know, I was grieving. Of course I had that dream. That's not real. Like, she couldn't come and talk to me. I knew that it was significant enough that I kind of like held on to it that full year, but I didn't want to believe it because I almost was afraid that if someone or something were to tell me it wasn't real, then my hope would be shattered. Does that make sense?
Yeah. You knew it was real. You wanted to make sure it stayed that way. What changed after a year?
Well, it was the anniversary of her death. The big thing, the big driver of this actually was, you know, I went into therapy maybe 6 months or 8 months before. My therapist finally was able to like broach the topic of death. So like, I really had this strong fear. Like, I would have panic attacks when we would start talking about death. Like, that's how afraid I was of it. And so it started in therapy of like her being like, hey, what do you think happens when we die? I was like, well, I don't want to talk about that. That sounds awful. And so that's how you know there's something there. So anyways, we were able to kind of bring it up and she was able to probe a little bit, and it kind of opened the gateway for me to realize that there was something there that I need to work on. I believe now, when you have a fear, when you have this resistance to something, that means there's something there that's juicy that you can kind of dig into, that like you need to work on, that's going to help you open your love, open your heart, and expand your consciousness. And so now I know that there was something really juicy there. So it kind of, my therapist kind of primed me to be ready to be open to having that conversation. As a follow-up, you know, around the time of my friend's death anniversary, you know, everyone's kind of calling each other and checking in, how are you doing? And this one person called me, and for some reason, I just felt safe telling her about my dream. Like, I don't know what caused me to tell her, but I did. I just felt compelled, and I think the biggest thing is felt safe. When I shared that with her, she had these tears in her eyes and she was like, Kate, I believe you. I believe you. And I believe that your friend came to see you. It was just like this wave washed through me of like relief and hope. And the big thing for me too is like the thought of my friend dying in the way that she did, you know, when she was so loved, that she was alone and that she was scared. And that, like, that to me, even to this day, like knowing where she is and how loved and held she is and how much she's still with us, that still hurts, you know? And my friend was like, hey, you should look into near-death experiences. So not only did she validate my dream or my spiritual encounter, she said, hey, you should check out near-death experiences. You know, I heard that the, she said, I heard that the dying process is like really beautiful and peaceful. And I was like, yeah, whatever. That's whatever. I don't believe that. But I felt something like hope for the first time in a year, and excitement. So, you know, I hopped online, and I think that night I downloaded my Kindle. I think it's called Many Lives, Many Masters. I can't remember. It's this psychologist who like hypnotized his patients. And then I also bought the Alexander Eben book. I can't remember what it's called either, but his work's amazing. And then finally, I found your podcast. And basically, Eric, ever since I've been on a binge of spiritual material every single day, and it's just like completely transformed my life.
Can someone believe in the afterlife and be an atheist? Do you have to believe in God to believe in an afterlife?
What a profound question. In my opinion, the word God is very heavy, which it doesn't need to be, but we've made it this way. And because people have a lot of baggage, emotional baggage, when it comes to religion. And so when you say God and afterlife, it's like almost like they have to be married. In my opinion, to believe in an afterlife, it just means you have to believe in something higher than yourself. And some like that there is something greater than yourself that exists out there. So whether or not that is God explicitly, you know, I don't know. What do you think, Eric?
I asked you the question. Come on. I get the easy job here. I don't have to answer hard stuff. My personal opinion is yes. It can be both.
Yeah.
I think that I don't think that they are mutually exclusive, but I do believe, well, just from the many, many, many people that I've talked to, that they do go hand in hand. That people, when they believe in an afterlife, they tend to believe in a God, whether that is a biblical type God, a source of energy, whatever it is. Okay. I don't care to put a label on it today. I have my beliefs. Other people have their beliefs, and I respect all of them. But yeah, it's pretty hard to separate them.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know. We'll have to talk to more atheists and see. It seems like all the atheists that I talk to are start kind of how you did, and they say, I'm a former atheist.
Oh, I guess I should say I'm a former atheist. I should clarify. You know, the topic of religion and spirituality is super interesting. And I know that this comes up on your podcast. And you have a mix of everyone. And, you know, something that was really special about what you do is that you are non-judgmental and non-denominational. And that includes the non-judgment of people that come on here and say that they are firm believers in Christianity and Christ. And it's hard because, you know, I'm one of those people that can get triggered by religion. But you know what? That is me. That means that, you know, they're not doing anything bad. It means that there's something, a wound inside me that needs caring for and being looked at. And that's what I'm recognizing now. It's like, hey, if I'm triggered by someone that says they are an evangelical Christian, which is the household I grew up in, that is some wound that I'm carrying. And we need to find a way to have non-judgment towards everyone's beliefs, even if that belief is telling you that you are wrong, right? So anyways, I could go on all day about this.
Tell me about motherhood. You said that motherhood seemed to be a theme of this. Expound on that.
Yeah. Let me start with my next spiritual experience, or I guess synchronicity, leading from my friend's death. So in the months after I had my awakening, I was thinking, man, you know, I really feel compelled to write to my friend's mom. I don't know why, what gives me the right to reach out to this woman? Like, she has gone through one of the worst things that you will ever experience in this life. What gives me the right? So I kind of waffled on it. And finally, after maybe like 6 months, I was like, okay, I'm going to write to her. And I sat down and I wrote out my dream. And when I was doing that, I was trying to get into this meditative state of like, let me, if my friend wants to send a message to her mom, like, let me help be that person if that's what, you know, God or spirit wants me to do. And so I wrote out this message about how my friend really valued her relationship with her mom and it was so important and all these things. And I finished the letter. It was like 10 pages long. I was like kind of embarrassed. So I put it in this envelope and I was like, great, I'm going to get it in the mail. And I'm one of those people, like, when I decide to do something, I want it done now. So I get it in the mail and I'm super excited. And I go to the mailbox the next day and the letter's still there. I'm like, why didn't the mailman pick this up? So I put the flag up. Great. Okay. He's going to pick it up today. And then I go out the next day and it's still there. And I'm like, what the heck? And I go inside and I'm like, oh, and I was like, why is this not getting picked up? Like, should I go and drop it off at like another mailbox? And I go back out a few hours later and, you know, I'd realized that the stamp wasn't enough because my letter was so big. So I was like, okay, maybe I'll just add another stamp. And I go out and the letter has been picked up. So I think the mailman just kind of gave up on me and was like, fine, I'll cover you the 2 cents or whatever. And so the letter was mailed and it was a few days after I wanted it to. So I was like, okay, it's out. And then I get a letter 2 weeks later from her mom. And, you know, I saw it and I was just like, oh my God, like, I know this is going to be significant. I need to open this. And I open it and she said, Kate, your letter meant so much to me, you know, and it arrived at the exact moment in which I needed it. She had to write a victim impact statement to the court over her daughter's murder that day. And she said she was just heartbroken and torn apart and needed something to help soothe her soul. And my letter arrived that day and she read it and she just wept. I mean, it was just like, you know, like the, I think God has a sense of humor. God has a really strong sense of humor.
I'm positive of that. Absolutely.
I'm like one of the most impatient people in the world, Eric. When I decide to do something, I'm like, I'm freaking doing it. And I know that about myself and, you know, I've really learned to slow down. And this time it's like, God was just saying, you know what? You just need to be patient, Kate. The timing is all going to work out perfectly. And so I just felt like so grateful that, you know, my friend blessed me with this dream, but she was also able to help bless her mom with this compassion and this comfort, almost like a hug from her daughter on the day that she needed it. So yeah, that was really special.
Didn't that feel good to be a part of that?
Oh my God. Yeah. I still carry her letter around with me and I read it when I need energy, when I need love. Yeah.
Yeah. And maybe your friend and God wanted to give that comfort to your friend's mother and you got to be a part of that. You were an instrument in that and that feels good, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, let's talk about fear of death. You said you have lots of fear of death. Most people on the show, because they've had a true NDE, have no more fear of death. Mm-hmm. Where's your level of fear of death now compared to where it was?
I knew you were going to ask me this, and I had to figure out how to be honest about it. I know.
I must be way too predictable if you know everything I'm going to ask you.
Eric, I listen every single Monday. And it's like, and when you don't post on Mondays, it's like, where is Round Trip Death this week? But that's just me. I'm not afraid of death. I feel connected to the afterlife. I feel connected to the spirit world. why I'm not a 0 out of 10 is because I have a young family and I want to be there for my family. And I feel like my job raising my two daughters is so important. So I'm going to give myself a 2 out of 10, but I want to tell, you know, everyone that listens to this podcast that, like, you can feel, there are experiences and moments that you can have where you can tune in and feel that love and feel that support and know that you don't have to be afraid. And it takes time. And I do want to follow up, Eric, about like my relationship with my daughters, because I think this ties back to my friend too. But is there any follow up on my scale, my rating?
Yeah, I think you can have very little fear of death, and it's okay to have some, right? Mm-hmm. We haven't been through it before, so it's okay. And especially what might lead up to a death, because sometimes that's painful and, you know, other negative things. So a little fear is not an unhealthy thing. But let's go ahead and separate your fear of death from your wanting to stay here to be with your children. And let's say those are two different things. I want to be here to take care of my children, and I don't have much fear of death. That's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
Okay, keep going.
I think one of the big ways in which spirituality has, my belief in God has changed my life is that I grew up really sensitive. So I'm the middle of 5 kids. I was the quote unquote sensitive one. You know, I had like really big emotions. I just like could feel energy before I knew what feeling energy was. Like I just like, I would like feel when my parents were anxious or fighting or whatever. And I would just like want to hide. And the phrase that I remember from growing up constantly is you just need to be strong. You just need to be strong. And what that means is when you are sensitive, you are weak. I held this belief up until, I don't know, a year and a half ago. And I'm in my late 30s. And, you know, I think that it made me not trust myself. It made me not trust my intuition, trust my instincts. And it, because I was taught that like strong emotions or big emotions that were bad or something you do alone and you didn't know how to regulate them, that I had to learn how to shut that down. And so, you know, in college, like I just drank a lot and I partied a lot. And I wasn't like a bad kid. I still got good grades and I still cared about people, but like, I just didn't know how to deal with the energy and the emotions that I felt. Now, bringing this back to my children, my firstborn daughter is so sensitive. She's a firecracker. She is full of opinions. She's like a rebel. She loves monster trucks. She loves running. She loves, she loves cars. Cars are her favorite thing. But she can't even watch regular TV. You know, there's that show Bluey, which is so sweet and has such good messaging. And half the episodes she gets scared of and we just turn it off. And I'm like, okay, you know what? Because of the work that I've done on myself and understanding sensitivity, I can now raise my daughter in an intentional way to cultivate that sensitivity as a strength rather than saying, you just need to be strong. You just watch this Bluey episode because you need to be strong and all your friends are watching this and what's wrong with you? Now I can say, hey, I know that that might feel scary for you. You know, let's explore that. Where do you feel that in your body? What are ways that you can protect yourself? What are things that you can do to surround yourself with more love and care? And that to me is like, that is the important gift, is that I am passing that on to the next generation because of the work that I've gone through. And I'm now able to recognize the strength in my daughter, not the weakness or shame in my daughter. And that is one of the greatest gifts. And so, you know, looking back on my discussion with my friend in the spirit world, it's like, yeah, this is important because if I'm able to raise a daughter or daughters from the start, understanding this beautiful marriage between emotion and intellect, because, you know, our emotions are just there. They're just signals. They're just there to tell us something like, hey, you're feeling something here. how about you go in and think, you know, explore this a little bit, rather than, wow, you shouldn't be feeling upset about this. Why are you feeling upset? Go cry in your room. If I can raise kids to be emotionally intelligent and understand what they're feeling, how much more good can they go do in the world? Like that is the gift. That is the beauty. They can go out and they can be self-confident, have intuition, be compassionate little souls, and do so much more good in the world.
I want to be your child, okay? Sounds like you're a perfect mom. That is awesome.
I'm not perfect, but yeah, I try.
When we talked the other day, you told me a little bit about an experience you had with your grandmother. Would you like to talk about that now before we're done?
Yeah, of course. So this just happened a couple weeks ago. And I think why this is significant is that, you know, sometimes like I still doubt myself and my intuition. So this was just a message from from the universe saying, hey, like, if you feel something, just trust it. Just trust it. So a couple weeks ago, out of the blue, I was talking with my husband and I was like, hey, you know, it's kind of crazy. Like, we only have one grandparent between the two of us that's still alive. And it's my grandmother. Unfortunately, you know, we weren't close growing up, and that's a whole nother story. But yeah, so I don't talk about her very often. It's not like a common occurrence. It was out of the blue. It was just like, hey, that's kind of crazy that, you know, we have one left. And that was it. Just kind of dropped it. Now that night, I was awoken in the middle of the night with this really vivid dream or sensation that someone was leaning over me to look at my baby. And any new parent will know, like, that's going to wake you up right away. So I like woke up and I was like, oh, what is that? And I, you know, in that moment, I definitely felt something or someone in the room, but I knew that, you know, they weren't a physical person. It was some kind of spirit. I've learned enough about spirituality to say, hey, you can set boundaries with spirits. And so I said, you know, I don't, please leave. It's the middle of the night and I just want to feel safe with my baby. And then I went back to bed. The next morning I wake up and I see a text from my mom and she said, hey, your grandmother passed away last night. And I was like, oh my gosh, mom, you know, I'm so sorry. You know, let me know if there's anything I can do to support you. And I just kind of like forgot, you know, like I didn't forget about it, but I forgot about my dream and I just kind of moved on. And later that day I was like, wait, could that have been my grandmother? And I was like, mom, when did grandmother pass away? Do you know? Because I know that my experience happened sometime between 3:30 and 5:30. Because, you know, when you have a newborn, you're up every few hours. I knew exactly when it had happened. It was during that time. And my mom texts me back and she's like, oh, you know, grandmother passed away sometime between 3 and 8 a.m. And I was like, oh my gosh, that was my grandmother. Like, absolutely. And so it was just like this moment, like this huge smile came across my face. And I was like, she was just checking on the baby. She just wanted to see her new great granddaughter before she went on into the spirit world, into the next spot. So anyways, I thought that was just like this really beautiful affirmation that we're all connected, that you should trust yourself, and that, you know, even if you have a complicated relationship, there is still love. There is still love.
Wow. Thank you for all your insights today. I'm not even sure where to go next. We're short on time. But I'll tell you what. Okay, you know this is coming. You have so many beautiful things to say. Go ahead and leave our listeners with a message of hope.
I think you sort of started mentioning it at the beginning, Eric, and that is, you don't need to die or even have this big traumatic life experience to feel the love and joy of the other side. I think that the universe is always trying to talk to us and connect with us. And it's just a matter of learning to go inside yourself, trust yourself, have self-compassion, self-love, and start connecting with the other side. And it is possible. You know, I think also there is just so much love for us on the other side that is part of our daily life that we're not aware of. You know, even when we feel the most alone, we are never alone. And that's just the most beautiful thing.
Absolutely. And let's pay a little more attention to our dreams. That's something I know I can do better with.
Yeah.
And the ones that seem like they're profound in some way, let's not just discount them as, oh, that was only a dream.
Yes. Right?
Yours was much more than that. And I think a lot of other people's are also.
Yeah. Can I say something to that, actually? So I actually am teaching my daughter to, like, remember her dreams. So, oh, what did you dream about? But also my husband, he loves he loves me. He supports me. And he does. He's not as in depth into this as I am, but he's sort of there. He sees it. He's seen some of the benefits. And he's been having these dreams about his grandfather, and he'll wake up and he hears like a buzzing in his ear. And he's like, I don't know if I believe it. And I was like, you know what? Like, I asked him, does it feel significant? And he said, yeah. And I was like, okay, you don't have to understand it. Just if your dream feels significant, just let it be significant. And you don't have to try and understand. Just let it be there. So yeah, I fully agree with you with the dream thing. Like, it's the closest we get to being connected to spirit world is through our dreams and when we're asleep.
Yeah. These more common things than actually dying and coming back.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think most of us can have some of these significant things from time to time. One last question. Your friend said, I'm okay and I'm not alone.
Yeah.
Do you have any idea who she was not alone with? Did she give you any indication?
No. I think when I look back on it, she was trying, to me, it was like the message that I needed to hear, because so much of my pain was her dying alone. And then also being alone, like my understanding of death, not that this makes any sense as an atheist, but that you would die and you'd be like conscious, but you'd be alone forever in darkness. And that was like my understanding of death. So retrospectively, it's her way of communicating or being a balm to one of my greatest fears, and also like torment of the way she died. Yeah.
It's funny how so many people have told me that they have done things or had experiences with things where someone on the other side wanted to make them feel better. They cared that much about them. And that says a lot about what it's like in the spirit world.
Yeah.
We still care about those that we care about here, right? We still have relationships. We care about their feelings. Mm-hmm. And if we can do something to help them feel better and feel comforted, or whatever the term is, I think they want to do that. They want to help us out whenever they can. And there's probably a lot of times that they do and we don't know it.
Yeah.
And so we can just give gratitude for all of that. And whether we call those angels or whatever term we want to put on them, I think a lot of that goes on around us. So anyway, thanks, Kate. I really appreciate you being with me and opening up like this.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me, Eric. And thank you from the bottom of my heart for everything that you do. So yeah, thank you.
Thanks again for listening and sharing this podcast. Don't forget to hit the follow or subscribe button and sign up for our newsletter at roundtripdeath.com. If you want to share your near-death experience, or if you have questions or comments about the show, send an email to eric@roundtripdeath.com. Until then, I wish you everything good that you're looking for in this life and the next.